Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
This is the closing market report. It is the 10th day of March 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets and trade in Chicago with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll take a look at the cash grain market with us, and we'll discuss the agricultural news too as we make our way through this Thursday edition of the program right here on Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We'll see if we can take a look at some of the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Thursday afternoon, futures in the corn pit were higher at the end of the day. Nearby March contract at 362.5, up 3.5. The May 362.25, up 2.75. And July corn at 367, up 2.5 cents. December at 380.5, 1.25 higher. Soybeans for the day finished the nearby March at 882, up 2 cents. The May up 2.5 at 888.25. July soybeans 8.93.25, up 2 cents, and November beans at 8.99.5, up 2.25. Bean meal for the day at 270.30, 70 cents higher. The bean oil on the afternoon finished the nearby March at 31.40. That was down 12 cents. Wheat futures soft red for the day at 470.25, up 6.5 in the March. July at 481.75, up 7 cents, or rather up for the day. That's correct, 7 cents. Live cattle futures nearby April contract at 138.37.5, a $1.60 higher. June contract at 127.77.5, $1.47.5 higher. And feeder cattle on the afternoon finished the nearby March at $161.50, up $2.45. Lean hogs for the day at $72.10 were unchanged for 100 pounds. The May contract up 60 cents at $79.55. Don't forget to check out our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming, from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between, including Commodity Week. That'll be recorded this afternoon at about 3 o'clock, not too far away now, and then posted to the website by about 5:30 this evening before it airs on any of our radio stations. You can listen at willag.org, and of course right here on this radio station tomorrow afternoon at 2:36. That's Commodity Week, a look at the week's agricultural trade.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
Taking a look at some of the outside markets at this hour, April crude oil at $37.80 a barrel, 49 cents lower for the afternoon. Ethanol futures at $1.42.5, that's up 2.5 cents. The wholesale price of gasoline, 2.9 cents lower at $1.44 even. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.21.7 is 1.5 cents lower on the day. And natural gas at a nickel higher, $1.80.2. Dow Jones and industrial average is not available to me at this time, but the gold futures for the day at $1,268.60 are up $12. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. A 50% chance of showers, mainly before 3 this afternoon, mostly cloudy, and a high of 55. Tonight, partly cloudy, and a low of 37. Tomorrow, sunny, and a high near 61 degrees on an east wind at 3 to 7. Friday night, increasing clouds, a low of 44. And Saturday, a 50% chance of showers, cloudy, and a high of 66. Saturday evening, clouds, showers, and it'll be 55 degrees. Chance of rainfall on Saturday night at 70%. Sunday showers are likely, cloudy, and a high of 67. Again, a 70% chance of rainfall in the area on Sunday. Then we begin to clear out. Sunday evening, we'll go to a low of 52. Monday, a cloudy sky and 69. And Tuesday, sunny skies and 72. And by the time we get to Wednesday, a chance of showers again, although it'll be mostly sunny for a good part of the day and a high of 66 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of this half hour.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On this 10th day of March, we're joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, how did we finish in Chicago in terms of the tech side of the marketplace for the day?
Well, I think you have to be encouraged as a technician. We did get, you know, lead soybeans did maintain their close above the 50 and 100-day moving average, actually extended their advance a little bit from yesterday. You got lead wheat futures put in a solid close above the 50-day moving average, and lead corn futures posted a close above the 50-day moving average. So I think when you just look at the markets, from a technical point of view, you'd have to be at least somewhat optimistic. The concern is maybe the wheat market might be getting a little bit overbought. Beans would be kind of in second place on that. Corn would be kind of a distant third. But all in all, I think you have to be encouraged the way the market has rallied this past week and a half. Last week was a strong up week, and now we're kind of following through on that higher finish last week. And as I mentioned, some of my cyclical work had corn, soybeans, and wheat kind of in the early time window to put in an intermediate low. And then maybe kind of get in position to maybe show some kind of strength, whether it be April or May, or at least begin some kind of growing season price strength. The key today, I think, was the action in the dollar. The European Central Bank head announced like a $20 billion quantitative easing program to go along with some of the others, which would, I think, would make it like an $80 billion quantitative easing program. That pushed the euro lower early. That pushed the dollar here sharply higher early, but it did not last. The dollar reversed downward, and we're 100 points lower. It's the widest trading range for the day, a daily range in some time. So we, whatever the European Central Bank head was trying to do was to weaken the euro, and it sure didn't do the job. It actually strengthened the euro and weakened the U.S. dollar. And, of course, with the dollar sharply higher, you look at the bond market, it had come back, but it was down 30 points for a while. But my guess is you have to look to say that the dollar value, the sharp decline in the dollar, probably made the people that were short commodities a little bit nervous, and you saw some short covering, and you probably saw some new technical buying. Gold was sharply higher here today with the dollar down. So I think that's the key force that kind of drove this market higher, at least here today.
Are there fundamental reasons within the commodity markets themselves, whether it be wheat or soybeans, for the market to go higher? I think I made note of that the company out of China that had gone so far under is now back in business and thinking it will begin to import more soybeans. And in fact, USDA put more up larger number, 1.5 million metric tons or something like that, on Chinese imports for the year. That would be worldwide global demand. But what other kinds of things are we looking at fundamentally that could support a marketplace?
Well, I think you got to extend a little bit what's happening in China. They've got massive food inflation. They're talking about using up their corn reserves to slow down corn values. So it might suggest that maybe China may have to come to the world market and be a buyer of commodities to slow down the price advances that they're experiencing in their country with massive food inflation. So that might be something to think about anyway. It's a shade early to worry about growing season worries. But as wet as it is and the weather pattern, I know El Nino is supposed to be dying or at least moving back toward neutral. But when you look at the rain system pattern that we've had so far this spring, it's very reminiscent of what happened last year. Texas, East Texas gets clobbered, and then it moves north and west into Arkansas and over into Mississippi and Louisiana and the Ohio River Valley. Actually, I talked to John Bondurant this morning a little bit, and he says he's ready to plant, but it's too wet. So he's waiting around for it to dry out, and that's similar to what we had last year, a very wet-type spring in those areas. Whether or not this is just a coincidence or if it's a prolonged pattern. The other thing that I think is probably more of a worrisome is wheat has come out of dormancy much earlier than it normally does. And as I mentioned, as the rain patterns in Texas and then it moves over to Arkansas, that means it's missing Oklahoma and Kansas. So we do have some dryness in the hard red winter wheat area. And since it's out of dormancy this early, depending upon what kind of growth we get over the next few weeks, it could be very vulnerable to maybe a late freeze, which is not uncommon to have some cooler temperatures or freezes, toward mid-April to even late April sometime. So could be a little bit as a concern. Probably they're more concerned about dryness than probably an early or a late freeze. Like you mentioned this morning, USDA kind of snugged up the world balance sheets a little bit. And anytime you shorten up the supply or reduce ending stocks carry over, the market has to kind of reflect that in a positive manner. In this case, since it was supply tightening, then the market would have to reflect that with a little higher price.
You haven't mentioned corn very much. Is it the weakling among the three, corn, soybeans, and wheat?
That would be my observation, at least for right now. And I think the reason probably corn is the lagger is farmers, I think, are probably more current on their sales on soybeans probably holding too much corn for this time of year. So that is probably the lagger, because I think price strength in corn is being met with at least a little farmer selling as they reduce some of their inventory and generate cash for maybe spring planting, whatever. But I have to say that wheat and soybeans are clearly out in front of corn, at least for right now, and in much better position to build a technical base for a growing season rally.
Is your gut telling us we'll have follow-through again tomorrow within the soybean and the wheat complexes that we'll have another higher week here too?
And I think as long as you maintain the advance so far that we've had this week, we're going to have a higher finish. The thing that I would be worried about probably, since we had such a big decline in the dollar, that maybe the dollar might have a knee-jerk reaction or corrective upside move tomorrow, and that might put a little pressure on the grains. And then, of course, anytime you get a higher ag commodity move, that usually generates a little pickup of producer selling, so you might have a little hedge pressure kind of coming to the marketplace. So, but as long as the market can just consolidate, I guess, what the advances that we've had this week. We would finish out higher for the week, and I think that, you know, continues to argue for the case that, you know, maybe there is a surprise down the road. And the first one up is going to be the grain stocks and planting intentions report. And I do know that these new crop corn and soybean prices have producers under a lot of pressure throughout the growing season. And, you know, they all are bleeding at the moment. There's really no profit in it. If not, it's still red ink. And that may have, at the end of the day, it may have repercussions that we may not plant as many acres of grain as what the trade has kind of got penciled in. But we'll have to see how the spring planting season proceeds, I think, Todd.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you being with us.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each and every Thursday afternoon. If you visit our website at willag.org, I believe you will find Daryl Good there. If he's not, I'll put him there very shortly. And he does refer to some of those acres that might be swing. There's around 6 million of them that we need to have yet show up in the marketplace sometime, probably by the end of the month, in the acreage report. And it'll be interesting to see whether they do or they don't. You can find Daryl's thoughts online at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, we'll start with the brand new baseline report released by FAPRI, the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri. Pat Westhoff is the director there. He says over the next 10 years, it'll be a difficult period for farmers, and points to the huge drop in commodity prices as the major driver and the reason for the income to stay low.
Crop prices are well off the peaks that were established in the 2012 drought year. On livestock, we had peak prices in 2014 that have also come down very sharply. We've had some cost reductions, but not nearly enough to offset the decline in receipts.
The FAPRI baseline uses a model with different variables to project a range of market outcomes for 2017 to 2025. Westhoff says some of the resulting 500 outcomes are much higher or lower than the averages in the report.
On average, we expect corn prices to average less than $4 a bushel over the next decade. There will certainly be years where we have short crops that prices might spike upwards, but we don't think the average price is likely to exceed the kind of levels we've seen in the last 2 years.
Cattle, hog, chicken, and milk prices have all declined because of increased production and weak export demand. With farm income below peak levels and interest rates forecast to increase, Westhoff says there will be continued pressure on farm finances and farm real estate values. From Missouri, we'll move across a couple of state lines to Wisconsin, where recent data shows farming is one of the deadliest occupations in the United States. That according to Matt Kiefer, he's of the National Farm Medicine Center out of Marshfield, Wisconsin, and the Marshfield Clinic. He says over the last few years, agricultural workers were the most likely to be fatally injured on the job. To make the farm safer, he explains, several steps need to be taken.
We have about 130 deaths a year from rollovers on tractors. And if you put a ROP on a tractor with a seatbelt, it's 99% sure that you're not going to die when that tractor rolls. There's a variety of other things which take a little bit more intense consideration, like electrical hazards, which are pretty common on farms. Animal hazards, of course, are pretty common on farms. And particularly training naive workers, new workers who have come on, animal handling techniques.
Kiefer says there are some new safety concerns over the last few years, too, when it comes to equipment. One of those is skid steer safety.
Skid steers are incredibly versatile machines, but they move fast, and sometimes visibility from particularly some of the older models is very limited, particularly out the back. You know, you just might back up over somebody without seeing them there.
And Kiefer says falls from bunker silos are another growing concern. Finally, he says ATVs are one of the biggest safety concerns when it comes to the farm. That's Matt Kiefer of the National Farm Medicine Center. It's part of the Marshfield Clinic out of Marshfield, Wisconsin. And finally today, we'll move to Washington, D.C., where the Senate may settle for pushing through a mandatory GMO labeling bill, but in the form of mandatory disclosure. Industry leaders are moving towards a proposal favored by USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack, requiring the use of smart labels and banning state labeling laws. The lobbyists referred to this system as mandatory disclosure rather than mandatory labeling. Secretary Vilsack called for the system in two separate speeches within the last week at Commodity Classic and at the National Farmers Union's annual convention. The other item from Washington, D.C. concerns the CBO, or the Congressional Budget Office, which sees mandatory farm bill spending decreasing over the next 5 years, while non-agricultural spending will increase. American Farm Bureau Federation's Mary Kate Thatcher says this is the wrong time to cut agriculture and rural programs.
I don't think there's any indication yet that there will be a reconciliation package. We would hope that if there is, that agriculture is indeed carved out. But yes, I think they make the choice. And while it is possible that the budget committee can actually say, hey, Ag Committee, this is how you're going to make the cut, the normal thing is for the budget committee to say, agriculture committees, here's your number. You figure out how to get to that savings.
The group asked that neither the House or Senate agriculture panels be subject to so-called budget reconciliation, requiring new possible cuts. However, Thatcher says the best option would be no reconciliation instruction at all. Another possibility is no individual spending bills again this year, but rather a huge catch-all omnibus bill. Thatcher says strong conservative opposition to last year's budget deal and a lack of legislative days before the summer presidential conventions makes it harder for House Speaker Paul Ryan to pass individual bills. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's jump now into the cash grain market. Matt Bennett is here. He's with Windsor in Windsor, Illinois, with Channel Seeds and Bennett Consulting. Matt, thanks for being with us. I've been watching the marketplace for the last week or so. Might do that every day. But this move has been pretty strong in the soybeans and the wheat. What do you think of it, and what are the opportunities it offers producers?
You know, it's been pretty strong in both of those markets, but it seems like this corn market can't ever hold its gains. And then today we finally had a relatively decent close. I think when I look at the soybeans, I probably look at this as an opportunity. Trading over $9 basis to nose, I'm not so sure that I would make any large-scale sales, but I do know several producers, given their yield history, could do fairly good at $9 basis to NOV. And so some of those guys decide to step in and sell small increment today. I think wheat, any strength I see in the wheat market, I definitely would be looking to lock some profit in.
Your assessment of Tuesday's, of the WASD numbers on Wednesday this week?
Yeah, I think, you know, for corn, obviously, it's kind of a yawner. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot to get too excited about. Nothing really changed for the U.S., which raised some eyebrows. Several people thought that they would need to lower the exports. Several people thought that they would need to raise ethanol. And so, you know, maybe they just decide to leave things status quo. I think raising the beans to 460 is probably applicable. I don't know that, that we'll get a whole lot higher than that, but I do think by all means, there's plenty of beans. I think whenever we look at the report, it just didn't really provide a whole lot of excitement. And I don't know when the last time we've seen reports like we had the last couple, three times, have ranges as thin as what they were. And yesterday was one of those days.
Yes, it was. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Yes, thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting and Channel Seeds. Back in 2 minutes.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
It's National Blueberry Popover Day. Food historians are in agreement. Popovers are an American recipe derived from Yorkshire pudding from 17th century England. The oldest known reference to popovers is in 1850, and the first cookbook to print a popover recipe was Practical Cooking by M. N. Henderson, published in 1876. popovers were originally made by cooking the batter in custard cups, lubricated with drippings from roast beef or pork. On this day in agricultural history in 1845, John Chapman died. He was better known as Johnny Appleseed. An American pioneer, he planted apple seeds in the Ohio River Valley area of Ohio, Illinois, and Indiana. Appleseed planted nurseries rather than orchards, and he built fences around them to protect them from livestock. He obtained apple seeds for free from cider mills, and he went barefoot year-round. In 1867, Lillian D. Wald was born. She was a scientist and nurse, and among her activities, she helped initiate the enactment of pure food laws in the U.S. Wald also took on major industries, lobbying for health inspections of the workplace in order to protect workers. And in 1873, John Torrey died. He was the first professional botanist in the New World. A mountain peak in Colorado is named for him, and Torrey climbed the mountain for the first time when he was 76 years old, where he gathered alpine plants that he had named 50 years earlier. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families for 100 years. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Mike Tenora is out of the office this afternoon. We'll take a quick tour of what conditions look like across Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Indiana, and Nebraska, the Midwest at this point. What we can see next week in Iowa, the middle part of that state will go all the way to 79 degrees on Monday of next week, and they'll have a little rainfall on Sunday and Monday. Today and tomorrow should be beautiful, 61 today, tomorrow 70, Saturday 64 degrees. Here in the great state of Illinois, we'll climb from the 50s today all the way to 77 on Tuesday, with sunshine on Friday and Tuesday and a little cloudy sky, some possible rain throughout the week on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Nebraskans will have an 83-degree top on Monday of next week. That's the warmest temperature we've seen. They'll have a 74-degree Friday, 65 on Saturday, and Sunday 70 degrees. And in Minnesota, they'll get into the 60s on Friday and Saturday, upper 60s, in fact, and stay there right through Monday of next week and then begin to drop off. They bottom out next week at 28 degrees, by the way, on Thursday. And if we go other places around the planet, in Mato Grosso, where they're in the midst of harvest at this point, 80 degrees to top, 87, 85, 86 for today, Friday, Saturday. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, a lot warmer, 97 on Monday. All of those days, rainfall all the way, in fact, through Thursday of next week in Mato Grosso. And Mato Grosso do Sul is similar, except that they don't have the rainfall. They are in the upper 80s at the moment. Will climb to 93 by the time they get to Monday. Paraguay, also in the midst of its harvest, beautiful sunshine there today, 83 degrees, and temperatures are falling. They'll go to 87 tomorrow, all the way to 96 on Tuesday. And by the time they get to Thursday next week, 98 degrees. And finally, in Cordoba, Argentina, 67 degrees and clear skies at the moment. Falling temperatures, they'll go to 86 tomorrow, 85 Saturday, and then they'll climb into the 90s throughout the week, topping out at 97 degrees on Thursday. And that's a quick look at what the weather forecast is like in some of the growing regions in the Western Hemisphere. Please do visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find the travel schedule for myself. In fact, I'm going tomorrow to Rockford, Illinois, for the Illinois Soybean Summit. We'll MC that event. You may very well still be able to sign up for it at ilsoy.org. It's free. free, so check that out. It's possible. And then on Saturday, I'll be back here on campus leading a group of agricultural communications incoming students through my studio here and maybe up to WILL. On Monday evening, we'll be at the Champaign County Farm Bureau building. That's the U of I Extension building out on Country Fair Drive at 6:30. Myself and Brian Stark making a presentation. Next week, we'll also be in Taylorville. And then on Saturday, not this week, but the following week, we'll be in Chicago, or actually Joliet, at Joliet Junior College and their Agricultural Weitendorf Center for the Chicago Farmers event, the Farmland Forum. Check all that out at chicagofarmers.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media.